Open your Bible, if you would, to Revelation. It's okay to be different once in a while, right? I wish I could remember the quote. Maybe it'll come a little later. So this is pretty cool, guys. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Thank you for being here. No better place to be than in church. And we gather around the dinner table quite a few times a day. And it's good to be able to gather around the church house. Amen. That's why America was, the nation was founded, for the church house. Be able to worship God according to freedom of conscience, the way that the Bible says. To be able to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost, of which we were at one point. Thank God we're not today. I don't reckon that there might be anybody in here that's lost. But and also to be an ally to Israel. Amen? We're love the Jew. Without the Jew, we wouldn't have this book. And without this book, we'd still be fighting one another and eating one another. And just like they used to do back in Europe and all this, that, and the other. But the funny thing is today, isn't it good to be in church?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It is great to be in church. Thank you for the privilege, the opportunity to preach to you. And so I'm going to, my title and my topic today is heaven.
Amen.
Heaven. And you know, the Lord's sense of humor is this is considered the AV, the authorized version. And the Bible says that thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Right, Brother Dan? Psalms chapter 38, verse 2. And so he said, in the midst of the place that he calls our home and his home, he put the AV right smack dab in the middle of it for all them Bible correctors just to break their fool heads on. Amen. And to bust their teeth out. But the funny thing is because heaven is spelled H-E-A-V, if you didn't pick up on that, E-N. Amen. All right. So, but the funny thing is I'm going to preach about heaven today, and that's an eternal place. Right, brother? So you get an eternal message today, so hold on to your hats. I'll try to be done as soon as I can. You got 2 pages today, all right? And now I want to preach on heaven today. I believe this is a message the Lord's given me. And man said one time, it's just so hard to preach on heaven when you're living like hell. Amen? But hopefully that's not the case in here. I believe we got a pretty faithful flock of folks that love the Lord and want the Lord's bidding in their life for eternal purposes. And what a blessing it is to gather around a bunch of folks like that. You never know what you have until you don't have it anymore. You never know what you have until you don't have it anymore. Now, you guys know this town better than I do. But I know Long Island, New York better than you do. I know Nassau and Suffolk counties better than you do. And I know in Suffolk County, there's millions of people. That splits the island. It's to the east. There's only maybe 1 or 2 Bible-believing works out there. How about in Hastings? So you come and you get a drink of water, and familiarity breeds contempt. So don't be familiar with your brethren, amen, because it'll breed contempt. Love one another. This is the commandment that Jesus gave us, that we are to bite and devour one another. No, that's a false Jesus. We're to love one another. Okay? And charity suffereth long. And the Bible says that charity never fails. Charity is love in overalls. Okay? But I'd like to preach to you about heaven this morning. And look at Revelation chapter 21, please, if you would. Keep the Grissoms in prayer. They get back safe. And keep Pastor Grissom in prayer as far as his decisions on going full time. When you're here, you encourage him to take steps of faith.
Amen.
Okay, so sometimes when something's not said, things are said. When you're here, you encourage the man to take steps of faith. Revelation chapter 21, look at verse number 1. John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Well, that puts the Jehovah Witness to shame right there. Amen. They say their heaven is this earth. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Talking about heaven now. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Let's bow our heads just briefly to talk to the Lord and pray. God, thank you for the privilege to approach into your throne. Thank you for the privilege to be accepted into the Beloved, for the what you've provided for us helpless sinners, needing a sinless sacrifice, as in a man, and that was provided in our mediator and our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Lord, thank you for truth. You said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so we ask that you'd expunge anything that would hinder your spirit, that we might get an eternal vision. And Lord, that we might leave this place just a little better than how we came out. Please hide me behind the cross. Please put a guard about my mouth. And Lord, I pray that what is done and said here would affect these people's faith, that it would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Glorify yourself now as we preach about this real thing called heaven, our eternal home. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Talk to you about heaven here. I just read those five verses. I'd like to preach to you about the place where you're going to reside for all eternity. If you've been saved, washed in the blood, and born again by the Spirit of God, and that place is called heaven. And thank God for that. One thing that you can't argue with and man can't argue with is when I stand at the shadow of death, when death comes around and that shadow comes around and touches that sickle to your heart and stops your heart, that's going to be the very thing that's going to usher you out of the temporal and into the eternal. You say, when's it going to happen? You don't know and I don't know. You think you're going to live forever, but the Bible says, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. And then so the Bible goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're supposed to be sober because death could be right around the corner. And in talking about heaven, one thing that you must understand is that the church age saints is going to live in a city, and we know that, called New Jerusalem. Galatians, Paul says, New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. And we're going to live in a city that's going to float up in heaven above the earth. The Jews are going to get the earth. NASA is going to get the stars. That's why they're going there anyway. And we're going to get New Jerusalem. But that doesn't mean we can't teleport all over the place. And if you want to go fishing on Neptune, so be it. You're not just confined to a city. But that's a place where you're going to live. You're going to live in a city. It's built four square. That's why we're to be peculiar. They say, oh, square britches. Oh, that teetotaler. Yeah, because we're going to a place that's built four square. But I'll tell you something about this city. It's like none other city where you're going to go. Its builder and foundation, its builder is God. It's a city that's built by God and Jesus Christ. It's a holy city. It's a beloved city wherein dwelleth righteousness and true holiness. It's Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You're saved in here today. You're going to die. He's going to say, hey, I got a place for you. As compared to when you take your last breath and say, I don't know you. I have nothing for you. Goodbye. What a privilege.
Amen.
It's a place of mansions and purity and beauty that when the Apostle Paul saw it, and when he was stoned outside of the city of Lystra and Derbe, and they stoned the Apostle Paul because he was being a fanatic and preaching, and he stirred them all up. They took him out there and stoned him, and he laid dead. And then he says, I will come to the revelations and visions. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. But I was hauled up into the third heaven and I saw things that were unspeakable. And he said, it was even unlawful. I couldn't even, what I saw, these things right here could not even formulate what I saw. And if I did, because these things are so impure, even if I had a coal set to them, it would be impure for me to even talk about what I saw. So you're going to have to wait till 90 and somebody else is going to get a revelation because I just can't do it. But yet, it's described by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation as a city built four square and of gold and of precious stones. And oftentimes, tell me if I get a witness here, Christians, we get so busy and our eyes get dulled and our memories get weak and they get short and we forget about the place where we're going to spend all eternity. You say, if you're happy, tell your face about it. Turn the cat around, Joe, if the thing is hissing at you, or kick it out of the house, one or the other. You know what the pig said to the horse, right? I mean, you're a group of people that God has prepared a place for, and God has got a new body for, and God's got a new mind for, and you walk around with an upside-down smile. It takes more, my mama says I'm getting the frown face or whatever she calls it. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile, brethren. Amen. You've got a lot to smile about. Listen, the only reason why you don't smile is because you're sucking on a lemon as opposed to the Word of God. Amen. You're proud. You're arrogant. We got a lot to smile about. Man, we're headed to a place we don't even deserve to go to. You think you deserve to go there? Don't you know who I am? Yeah, we know who you are. I'm holy. You're full of holes. Often as Christians, we walk around. You know what the pig said to the horse? Why such a long face? We walk around and we forget about the place where we're going to spend eternity. We walk around with a long face and no victory or joy. No sparkle in the eye. No pep in the step. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen. You know what heaven is like? You know how you should be thinking about heaven? It should be like a kid at the carnival or the theme park. Mom and Dad, will you come on? It opens in an hour. I don't care. I want to be at the gate. There's so much fun in that place. Amen. Can I get my socks on? Son, can you relax? No. And he talks to his friend. What are you going to do? We're going to ride the Venom. Yeah, I want to see my mom ride that thing. The last time he was awesome, she about threw up. She got off at once. All this, that, and the other. So much excitement that's waiting right there just beyond the gate. I wonder, who stole that excitement away from you? Who would want to steal that excitement? Who would want to steal that vision away from you? Who would want you to get your eyes off of this and get your eyes off of that? When you got your eyes off of that, what made you happy? You got your eyes on that. You had a smile and now you got a frown. Can we get your eyes off of that and get it back onto that? It should be like a kid at the amusement park. Or you'd be like Eeyore. Woe is me. And then I take you to Afghanistan, or I take you to Iran, or Iraq, or I take you to Korea, or I take you to China, and you see some Christians that have real joy. Amen. And the Eeyore syndrome just goes right out the door, and you wind up like Tigger. With some pep in your step. Because your vision changed. Topher told me to say that. Going to heaven should be like... It should be like the feeling of the expectation of a long-awaited vacation. And then you got to take a vacation when you come back from the vacation. But the expectation of the vacation, TGIF, man! Heaven's right around the corner. That should be the expectation. Or maybe when a big payday's coming in, or maybe when that income tax check you're waiting for. Or maybe when you've made that reservation so long time ago that you want to spend with that dear loved one or loved ones, and that day's coming and you've made that reservation to go there with your family, or to go there with your friends, or to go there with folks that you love and just sit down, and you get to the place and it's a lovely place, and you've made that reservation and they've made that reservation, and man, when you get there, you're accepted and you go in and it's wonderful, and the water's wonderful, and the waitress is wonderful, and the waiter's wonderful, and the food is wonderful, and the fellowship is wonderful. That's how we should be as saved people and Christians. Do you really have it that bad? No, you don't have it that bad. Don't listen to the lie of the devil on how bad you think you have it. You don't have it that bad. As a matter of fact, you got it great. You got it better than 95% of the rest of this world, folks. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? It's full. It's full. A man said about heaven, he said, heaven is a reality not seen by the eyes of flesh, but made known by the revelation and received by faith. Heaven. Hey, how much do you know about the place where you're going to spend eternity? Heaven. Man said one time, if a man should suffer all the sorrows of the saints that in this world that they've suffered, yet those sufferings are not worth 1 hour's glory in heaven.
Amen.
What Paul said, I think we know the sufferings of this world are not comparable to the glory which shall be revealed in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, a man said one time, is a center attraction in heaven. Of all the things that we in heaven, that I want to try to do is encourage your hearts as to some things that you won't find in heaven. Let me just think with me for a minute. Get on the boat and put the sail up and go down the river with me in the Mississippi or the ocean. Just don't flip the thing like the cargo ship a few weeks ago. Get on this ship with me and see what's not in heaven, folks. And if your frown isn't turned to a smile, you need to check your spirit. Some things that aren't in heaven that I'd like to encourage you with before I talk to you about some things that are. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Some things that aren't in heaven. There ain't no tears there. There'll be no more death. There won't be any more sorrow. There won't be any more crying. You kids, no more crying. No more crying. You go to heaven, you can't cry in heaven. Won't be nothing to cry about. What else? No more pain. Former things are passed away. Can I tell you a few other things by way of a list that aren't in heaven? No more tears. No more death. No more funerals. No more graveyards. It's a long list. Just hold your hat. That I'm thankful that these things aren't in heaven. No more urns of ashes. No more sorrows. No more heartaches. No more separations of loved ones. No pain, no cancer, no arthritis, no sore backs, no bad eyesight. Thank you. No failing hearts or bad kidneys, no hospitals, no nursing homes, no tragic or bad news, no bills, no debts, no divorce, no lust, no temptation, no sin, no evil, no bad consciences or evil consciences. No more wheelchairs, Brother Sullivan. No cars breaking down, Brother Matt, or upkeep on the houses. No taxes. There ain't no makeup there either. You know, just a joke, just for a second. You know, it could be possible that there aren't any women in heaven, because they said that there was silence in heaven for the space of about an hour. Now you can laugh at that. Your wife laughed. It's all right. There's going to be women in heaven. Children and daughters of God. No taxes. How about for you folks that work in the city? No rush hour. People in Minnesota, man, I thought they knew how to drive. I don't know. No bad smells, no murder, no lying, no old age, no diseases. What do you want to put in the blank? It ain't going to be there. No sick beds. No CNN, no ABC, thank God. No Fox News. No NFL, AHL, MLB. No Hollywood. Or the stars thereof, like Brad the Pitts. Brittany Spearman chewing gum. Taylor Swish or Lush or whatever she is. I don't know. I hope they make it. Miley Stylus. I don't know, man. Sylvester the Cat Stallone. Ain't going to be no gods there. There's only going to be one God. There's only going to be one star in that holy place. The list goes on and on and on. No World Wide Web. No YouTube. No Facebook. No Twitter. No selfies. No more hunger. No more salvation. No more wickedness. There won't be an LGBTQ in heaven. No women's lib. It won't be there. No Marxist, liberal, left agenda. No communism. No socialism. No democracy. It'll be a theocracy, and we'll want it that way. No wars. No killings. No fighting. No war veterans suffering PTSD or amputated limbs. No widowhood due to the ultimate sacrifice of war. Oh man, these things are all right there, right in life. No SIDS, no stillbirths, no abortion. Kind of sounds like a clean place if you ask me, amen. No miscarriages, no mamas crying their eyes out, no daddies crying for wives. No Christian parents crying over kids that have gone wayward. It's a lovely place. You know what won't be there? No deadlines. Look right across the page at Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. You know what won't be there? Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented. They shall be tormented. They shall be tormented. You go through some torment in your life? Payday some way. Payday someday. It is a message that R.G. Lee preached. And Lucifer is going to get his payday someday. And as he's tormented, and as he's been used as a tool by God to grow the church and to even work on his son, that guy, that entity, the devil, won't be in heaven. You know what that means? No more temptation. No more lust to draw you away. No more fight of the flesh. Those are some things that are not in heaven. But look at Colossians chapter 3. Those are some things that aren't in heaven. And by the reading of some of those, and I pulled on them, the place is kind of quiet. So those are some things that aren't in heaven, but what are some things that are in heaven? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, are you risen with Christ? Amen. You're saved, amen? You're accepted into the beloved right now, the Bible says. You couldn't get out of as I've mentioned before, Christianity with a getting out machine. You're in the Christian mafia, pal. You better take the good way as opposed to the bad way. You better take the way of blessing as opposed to the way of curse, because you can't get out of it. Your chart's been set. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things, which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Well, if I can find out some things that are above, just like when a young man sees a beautiful woman, he sets his affection upon her. If I can find out some things that are above, And if I can encourage your heart and capture attention with those things, well, maybe you'll be changed a little bit. Maybe you'll want to live for that city and for that country just a little more, as opposed to just being dulled down with the assault that you're under all the time in this world and in this nasty flesh.
Amen.
Some things that are in heaven. Some things that are above. Your home is called, as I mentioned, New Jerusalem. It's in heaven. And it's created by God. It's created by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is what's above. There's peace. There's joy. There's harmony. There's laughter. There's praise. There's a new mind. There's a new body. There's family. There's friends. Hey, what's in heaven? There's folks that you have won to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether by hook or by crook. Whether by mouth or by gospel tract. That one's bent. They're there. That's what's in heaven. Folks you've won to Christ or other souls that have been won to Christ on the mission field due to you supporting a missionary or due to you being faithful in your church, in the local assembly for such a time as this, where this is not a business, this is a burden. Where, as I've mentioned, this is not an organization, it's a living organism. It's a picture of the pearl of great price. And when you get to a place that's a Bible-believing work, you find yourself in line with what the chief banker, God, and a perfect Jewish banker is able to take a little and make a lot of. Because little is much when God's in it.
Amen.
You say, what's in heaven? I don't know. Do you have some souls? I'm sure. Listen, you're going to get a reward just by being faithful and putting your tithes and offerings into this church. Because it's going over to those places where you can't go.
Amen.
There'll be someone up there that'll sing the song that says, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Because you gave, I got saved, and I'm here with you now. I don't even know who in the blazes you are. Oh, you know that guy? Oh, I know that missionary, yeah. Oh, you know that brother? Oh, you know that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I helped him out a little bit. How much you give? Man, I only had a quarter to give. I don't know, but I'm here because of your quarter. That's what's going on in heaven. You know what's up in heaven? This is what's in heaven, folks. Are y'all doing all right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're going to heaven?
Amen.
This is what's in heaven. Those are some things. There's a lot in heaven. Here's what's in heaven. Number one, realization. Now, you look at me like I have three heads. But wait till you're on your deathbed. Wait till you're up against it. Wait till all the pride and all the formalism and what the bank card won't do and what the lawyer won't do and what your credit card won't do and what the doctors can't do. And now it's just stripped down to you and God.
Amen.
That day's coming. And you know what? You want to know what's up in heaven? Realization is up in heaven. Rest is up in heaven. Revival is up in heaven. Reverence is up in heaven. Reunion is up in heaven. And rewards are up in heaven. You say you're going to preach all of them? Not all of them. Just a few. You know what's up in heaven? Realization. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Realization. Revelation chapter 4. Realization that heaven is real. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. John says, after this, I looked and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were the trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I'll show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. I was in the spirit. If you walk in the spirit, as many as live in the spirit, let them also walk in the spirit. And behold, the throne was set in heaven and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper, the sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, which goes very good, sister, with what you said the other night about Joseph with the coat of many colors. A rainbow. Praise the Lord. In the sight like unto an emerald, And round about the throne were 24 elders. Upon the seats I saw the 20 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they that had on their heads crowns of gold. You say, what happened? The realization that heaven is real happened with John. At the time of death of the rapture, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, absent body and present with the Lord. And you know what happens? You leave that mortal frame, and instantly you are before God Almighty. And you know what happens when you get before God Almighty? Listen, will I dance before Him? I don't think so. You're going to be on your face, and you're not going to be able to look at that light, and you're going to be here today, gone tomorrow, if you know that story. Gone tomorrow. Little bunny foo-foo? Okay, I won't say that one now. That's extra. You have to come Wednesday night for that, all right? Listen, you're going to be absent in the body, present with the Lord. Realization is going to hit you just like that. And you're going to be on your face before God, and then He's going to tell you to look up. After you've been there for a while, you hear stuff, but all of a sudden you can't look. You don't dare look. You don't dare look.
Amen.
Just like Peter, James, and John, when Jesus Christ was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus was a billion, 20,000 volts standing there, just pure electricity, pure holiness. They couldn't even look on Him. They got way down. The Lord says, hey, I want you to look up. Look at your face. Look to Me. And He tells you to look up. And you open your eyes, and your eyes get way, real, very, very wide. Just as if you've seen a ghost. And your mouth drops open. Just like Marley. You know, in Scrooge, he's got to take that thing. He unwraps himself. And you know what you are? You're speechless. And that's when the realization of heaven hits you. You know what it's like? It's like you're speechless and your mouth is open, your eyes are big, and you this is real. And you know, that has a positive and negative effect. You know that? It's very, very positive if you've lived your life in a Christian way down here. But it's very negative. And there's regrets if you haven't. You're in such a state of affairs, the realization of heaven. It's like when in New York City, when you live in New York and you go to New York City, the one thing you don't do is go. Oh, you're just fixing to get pickpocketed. That's all there is to it. Because they know those. You're looking at them skyscrapers. You're looking at Freedom Tower. It's like, that's what heaven's like. It ain't like it, but that's what you do. It's like, wow. Or you're at that Sears Tower, looking down. Or maybe, I don't know, you go to the Grand Canyon and the luster and the awe that's there. Or maybe you see a sunrise. It's just the realization. Or maybe you go to the ocean, or maybe Niagara Falls. It's just the realization. What's up in heaven? Absent in the body, present with the Lord.
Amen.
And it's a realization that, man, this is real.
Amen.
The temporal has been put off. The eternal is now being occupied. You hear the music and the laughter and the praise. you see the angels and all the things going on. And you look at your new body, and instantly the thought comes to mind. I sure am glad I lived the way I lived by faith down in that temple or earth. And let God have His will and His way in my life. Because this place is worth every mile of the short Christian pilgrimage. It's worth it. This place is worth it. A life of faith is worth it. Answering the call of God is worth it. Denying self is worth it. This place is wonderful. You know what that is? It's realization. You know what you need today? Realization. You need to let the eternal take over the carnal, and walk that way in the Spirit of God like you truly believe it. And in doing so, what will happen is you'll prepare your place for it. You'll get joy. Hey, listen, what are you going to do? Are you going to shoot me? Are you going to cut me? Are you going to say bad words to me? And you're going to offer me a promotion to go to this great place? Are you going to scare me with a gun and kill me and promote me into the place that is marvelous? or the thoughts of regret in that, excuse me, the thoughts of regret as far as heaven goes, that this place is worth so much more than the effort I made as a Christian. You look at a guy, he's sitting on a throne there, and you know it's the one that got you in. You know that fellow on that throne that's receiving all those praise and all that glory and all that adoration from them beasts and from their elders is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying just like this. And you're thinking, he left this for me. He left this for me. And what's he asked you to leave? I don't know. What does he ask you to leave? It's a realization. I got to flip my notes. Hold on one sec. After the thoughts pass, you find yourself running to the person who punched your ticket and punched and got you in your way into such a place of beauty and splendor. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. Talking about heaven this morning. Realization. The beauty and the splendor that's there. And every creature, in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 5, which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever and ever. And oftentimes people want to paint a beautiful picture, but man can never paint as beautiful a picture as a sunrise or a sunset. Awe-inspiring. And that's nothing compared to the place where you're going to live forever.
Amen.
It's kind of like the realization of a bridegroom and a bride and all the buildup of the hard work of the wedding. The realization and the plans that go into the wedding and all the logistical things that have to happen. And then you have the ceremony, and like Pastor Bob was at a wedding out in Colorado. Then you have the party, and then you smash the cake into the groom's face, and the groom smashes the cake into the bride's face, and then y'all enjoy some punch and nuts and dinner and whatever and this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden the guests are gone. The Christian music's gone. Square dancing's gone. I don't know if you believe in that or not. I don't know if you do that at your wedding or not. All right, that's your conviction. I'm just kidding you. Just relax, okay? Just to catch you unawares a little bit. And then it's just you and her. It's like the realization sets in. It's just you and him. And he got you there. I'll tell you what else in heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 4. How about reverence? Revelation chapter 4. Reverence is in heaven. How is it we couldn't exclude God out of heaven if we're going to talk about heaven? Amen. You couldn't exclude the worship of God out of heaven if we're going to talk about heaven, amen? We were built to worship. You know, just like that 69 GTO came with, I don't know, a 400 with a six-pack on top. It was just born to run, amen? Or the Riviera with a 455 Wildcat in it. Just, and you burn your dad's tires off and you get home and he looks at them and, you know, he shows you love by applying the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge, but that's another message, I guess. Hey, there's reverence up in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. It says this, reverence. There's not only realization, but there's reverence. Revelation 4, look at verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him and worship him and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now that's happened in heaven. That's reverence in heaven. How much more sweeter is it when you're down here in this place of carnality and trash and mess, when you're offering up sacrifices and praises to God, just like these beings are when they're up there?
Amen.
Up there it's a little easier. Up there it's expected. Up there you're there because you want to, because he's the one that got you in, but you're not there yet. How about here? How about when you do it here? How about when you're in your prayer closet and you're communing with God Almighty and God Almighty is real to you and you're reverencing Him and you're telling Him how wonderful He is and how great His Son is and how holy He is and how much that He does for you. How much the more down here?
Amen.
There's reverence in heaven. You know, just like the 10 lepers, 10 of them were cleansed. But one really realized what happened and came back to the feet of Jesus and reverenced Him. Just like when the Lord told a parable in Luke chapter 14 that a great man made a supper and all those of his family and all those that he had included and wanted to come, they had too much. There was too much between the great man and that supper and them, and he was just not anything anymore. Yeah, the great man had done a lot for his children, had done a lot for his friends, had done a lot, and they just had a lot, and they had a lot of blessing. And he said, I've made a supper for you. Won't you come? Won't you come eat? Won't you come fellowship? Won't you come spend some time with me? And they said, I got cattle to check out. I've got this. Speak to the hand. I've got a house to check out. You know how it is with property, right? Well, yeah, I'm the one that gave you the property. You know, maybe you can speak with my secretary. We might be able to line something up. Yeah, I've got a bride. Yeah, there's reverence in heaven, guys.
Amen.
He said, okay. Go to the lame. Go to the halt. Go to the maimed. Go to those that ain't got nothing. And they can have me. And when they have me, they'll have it all.
Amen.
And I'll bet when they got into that place, and it was a clean place, I bet it was new to them. Those lepers and all them folks that the Lord talks about back there, the halt and the lame and the blind and those that couldn't do anything for them, kind of signs like you and I, maybe, if you have the right-hearted attitude towards Jesus Christ. I bet when they got into that great man's house or into that banquet hall, that great man, and they smelled those smells. I mean, they've been smelling the street. They've been eating from the pantries. They've been picking bubble gum off the streets and stuff out of the McDonald's garbage cans. And that's all they had to eat. And it was luxury to them. But when they got into this place, and then they were invited in, and the guy was at the door, the great man that put this thing on. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Sit right there. As a matter of fact, you know what? Go wash up. I've got a suit of clothes for you. I got something nice for you. As a matter of fact, we're going to get you a haircut, too, real quick. I'm going to make you awesomely nice. I'll bet when they were in there, they felt kind of uncomfortable. Like, what's going on, you know? And then they start eating, and then they start enjoying it. And then the good man, the great man, was at the end of the table, and he's just fellowshipping with them and making them feel as comfortable as possible. And they're like, this is awesome, sir. I mean, I appreciate this. I mean, I haven't had any something like this. As a matter of fact, this could get addicting. Can I stick around for a while? Hey, you know what? I enjoy that attitude. I think I'd have you stick around for a little while longer.
Amen.
There's reverence in heaven. There's reverence in heaven. Let me give you another one here. Let me give you some. There's another reverence in heaven that I spoke about. The soul that you won to the Lord come up to you and say, thank you for pointing me to Jesus Christ. You know what he's doing? As I mentioned, he comes up. He's showing a little bit of reverence towards you. Now, do you have that? Well, as I've mentioned, praise the Lord. You need to. The Lord said, follow me. I'll make you become fishers of men. As a Christian, listen, every tree, every piece of fruit has inside of it, that's made by God, has inside of it, excuse me, the ability to bear fruit after its own kind.
Amen.
You're saved? Praise the Lord. You should be able to bear fruit after your own kind. Somehow, some way, one by one, Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you become fishers of men. Wednesday night, sometimes, we have a... What's it called? What's that thing called that I do? Visitation course. We'd love to have you. And you can learn how to win people to Jesus Christ. Amen? Does somebody come up to you? Let me give you another one. How about what's in heaven? You say, well, there's realization in heaven. Is heaven real to you today?
Amen.
There's reunions in heaven. There's reverence in heaven. There's reunions in heaven. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. There's reunions in heaven. My daddy died at the age of 55, a saved man. Brother Barber's dad just passed away here. Thank God he was saved. Death isn't the stopping place. Death is a starting place. And there's going to be a reunion. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. The Bible says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face with the Lord, face to face with other folks that are up there, you know. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." In heaven, you are going to be known for what the Lord knows about you right now. God's going to give you a new name. And God's the only one that knows that name. And you know what that name is going to be formulated out of? Your Christian character. Now, I didn't have to get quiet right there. It's all right. That wasn't like a little negative thing there. That's true, folks. You know, like in the old days, they used to call their children charity. They used to call them benevolence. They used to call them hope. And the list faithful. The list goes faith. The list goes on and on and on and on. But there's going to be reunions up in heaven. Those that have gone before us or broken the silver cord or there is no discharge in that war. Who said that? Solomon said that. Or have passed over the Jordan. Or have fallen asleep in Jesus. We're going to see him again.
Amen.
You got to take that by faith. What did Paul say? Paul said, we are not of them which have no hope. That's what he said when it comes to death. I can't get that verse. But we're going to see husbands. We're going to see wives. We're going to see sons. We'll see daughters, moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, preachers, pastors, neighbors. Families reunited. Generation after generation reunited. That's why it's so important, Grandma and Grandpa, to be faithful to God. Because you want that second, third, and fourth generation. You don't want them after the generation of Adam where all die. You want that generation after you to be alive so that you can meet them in heaven. There's reunions in heaven. That's why it's so important. The effects, the way you live and your faithfulness to the Lord affects your families, generations to follow. And it's gonna reflect and affect heaven's shore. You know what? When you have a reunion with your family, what are you going to be doing up in heaven? You know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be hugging. You're going to be kissing. You're going to be slobbering. You're going to be talking about the one that got away. Hey man, you're going to be talking about memories and this, that, and the other. And then as a family, you're going to say, let's go to the throne as a family, as a generation, as first, second, third, and let's worship at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
A reunion. A reunion up in heaven. And make your way to that throne. And lastly, for sake of time, look at Matthew chapter number 6. Isn't it glorious to know? For we are not of them which sorrow, which have no hope. The Bible says the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall have caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and they that sleep in Jesus, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Man, we're going to see one another again.
Amen.
You're going to see your wife again. You're going to see that loved one again. You know that there's been people that have been saved at Christian funerals? It's supposed to be a place of mourning, but the people are rejoicing so much that this brother has gone, or this mother and father, although it's so sad that the 21-year-old went to heaven, but he went to heaven while he was serving the Lord, and God just took him because he wanted to. Other people have gotten saved.
Amen.
At a funeral?
Amen.
That's got to be divine.
Right.
Lastly, what's in heaven? There's realization in heaven. There's reverence in heaven. There's reunions in heaven. Man, it's going to be hard to have a reunion with a brother down up there if you can't have a reunion with him down here. Amen?
Amen.
That's a little weird, isn't it?
That's right.
What's in heaven? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Now, hold on, because I'm in Mark. You got me all agitated there, and I had to step away from my Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus says, you say, what's in heaven? Rewards. I have a question mark by that point. Rewards? Or rewards? What's in heaven? Rewards? Rewards. See the inflection? What's in heaven, sister? Rewards. What's in heaven? Rewards? That's interesting, isn't it? Look what Jesus says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Oh, that's rough for an American. Just come look at my garage. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But Jesus said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. That's lovely pie in the sky stuff, isn't it? But do you know, folks, what it means to lay something up? If you lay up a block wall, you take a cinder block that's 8 inches wide by 16 this way, and you know what I'm talking about. It's got an ear in the middle of it, and you lay it one at a time. Now, Paul said that we desire, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we desire to be clothed upon with this house, which is eternal in the heavens, lest we be found naked. Folks, The severity of your rewards in heaven is this. David gathered the things for the temple for Solomon. David gathered through a fight. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The fight that David had in order to gather those treasures represented righteousness. And it brought forth a kingdom, excuse me, of joy, a righteousness. Was not Solomon's kingdom a peaceful kingdom? But it had to come through a fight. The tabernacle was built by the things that David got through a fight. Are you and I in a spiritual fight? No fight, no rewards. He gave those to Solomon, and Solomon built the temple. You know what your clothing is in eternity? It is a temple. This is a tabernacle. The temple is stationary, folks. The temple was stationary. The tabernacle moved around. We're in a tabernacle. The temple is being built. I go to prepare a place for you. But lest the shame of your nakedness do appear. And Jesus Christ said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire.
Amen.
And white raiment. You, because of your fight in this life, are handing off treasures, rewards, and He is building what you will be clothed with for all eternity.
Amen.
And that is up to you.
Amen.
You're saved by grace. You're kept by grace. You're kept by the power of God. You're living in the greatest nation upon the face of the earth to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's so easy to serve that people get lulled to sleep by the easiness and the comfort of this country.
Amen.
And you have Christian heritage. You are sending your rewards that way. If he has something to work with, you'll have something there. If he has nothing to work with, yes, you'll be clothed with his righteousness, but you will not be clothed with your own personal rewards and righteousness. So the devil knows that. Satan can't get your soul. But John said, let me jump to the end of my message, because I got four more pages. I do not know how they multiplied, but it is the case. Let me find this. Look in somewhere. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter, maybe it's 2 John. Hold on. I could quote it for you, but I want you to see it. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought. Maybe it's, I got it somewhere, right? What is it? 2 John. Thank you. 1 John. 1 John. Look at 2 John. Verse 8. He says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Seems how you're there. Look at Revelation chapter number 3. There's rewards in heaven, but you got to send them ahead. A treasure, a reward is to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. A treasure is something that's of great value. It's just like when you work hard here and you put money or investments away or in the bank for the future use. So is true of treasures and rewards in heaven. They say, when you get to heaven, will you be a prince or a pauper? Listen, guys, just can I reason with you just for a second? Would you just let me reason with you for a second? Listen, I praise the Lord that we're all trying to make an effort, all right? But here's the deal. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. You've got two saved people. They start out at the foot of the cross. Their sins are forgiven. They're on their way to heaven. Praise the Lord. Their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? Okay? This guy does the will of God 90% of the time. This guy does the will of God 30% of the time. This guy doesn't do the will of God at all. Should they both be treated equally? Can I reason with you? Will they both be treated equally? Okay. No, they won't. You say, God's biased? God, yeah, yeah. No, God's God. That's just how He does things. One guy that goes over here and gives his life for the sake of Jesus Christ and eternal souls and other saints and genders that because of the sake of the gospel and goes to heaven. And this guy that just go lives like Lot, God's decision making, God's mind is going to be a little different, but yet both get to go to heaven. Amen. Now, who's keeping you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's keeping you from a full reward? Don't look at the preacher. I'm going to stick you as hard as I can to try to get you to work. I'm going to try to get your eyes open and wake you up. Amen. You're going to die soon, or we're going to get raptured out of this place. And listen, you know what's not in heaven? An opportunity to live by faith. Amen. It's all done. It's all over. And I want to know who keeps you from it. The world and the flesh and the devil. Amen. Argue with it if you will. Tell it to the judge. As my uncle used to say, the proof is in the pudding, or when the rubber meets the road, or my mom says, you made the bed, you lay in it. All right, we'll be done. But look what the Lord said in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 somewhere. Oh, there it is. Look at verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Okay? In closing, as far as that treasure goes, it takes an effort to go out and by faith to realize that there's treasure out there that you might not be able to see. But like Nathan and I, we picked up metal detecting, and you need the right effort. You need the right... You guys know about metal detecting? You know, you got that silly thing, you know, beep, 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 and everybody's looking at you like, what are you doing, man? What are you in the park for doing that? What are you, are you a Martian or something? But there's treasures in the ground, and by faith, you have to go after them. You have to have the desire. You have to have the right tools. Listen, you have to have the right continuity, and you have to have the right ear. You have to have the right sound to look at the ground and say, I don't see anything there. I don't see a treasure. I don't see a coin. I don't see a ring. But then all of a sudden you get the right continuity. And then all of a sudden you have to start digging. And then all of a sudden you have to get on your knees. Wow, that sounds like the Christian life to me. And then all of a sudden you dig it up and you take it. And once something that was lost is now found and it's put in the founder's pocket and it's taken back to the house and it's a great treasure and then it's cleaned up and then it's stowed away for a future day. Amen. Hey, Christians, are you doing any metal detecting? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I want to encourage you. You're on your way to the promised land. You're on your way to the promised land. Thank you, sis. Is heaven real to you? Heaven is a place of realization. Heaven is a place of rest. Heaven is a place of revival. Heaven is a place of reverence. Heaven is a place of reunion. Heaven is a place of reward. Reward? Reward. Reward? Which one is it for you, guys? If I could be used to back that devil off of you just a little bit, that there'd be just a little more humility and just a little more love and just a little more service and just a little more joy. And that frown could be turned into a smile because you're a pilgrim and a sojourner here. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And that maybe the person that is putting those trials in your life is putting them there and they're burning you and burning you and burning you and you just don't understand it and it's gendering confusion. But he says you're laying for yourself up treasures in heaven. Is heaven real to you today? Do you know right now that you have money in the bank? Do you know that you have stocks? Do you know that you have IRA? Do you know this? Do you know that? Listen, Christian, let's strip it right down. Do you know you have rewards in heaven? And if you don't, there's something wrong. And you have to deal with that. And this is a very sober scenario. You said, I thought heaven would be a grand message. It is.